been watching The Jackie Daly Show, and I am here with truly the next great American. He's already a great American. Abraham Enriquez. All right. He's a star. If you don't know his name, you're going to. So if I could buy stock in anyone, it would be Abraham Enriquez, founder and president of Bienvenido, which I have mistakenly referred to as Bienvenidos.
A lot of people do.
For years now.
Yeah.
Okay. First, just make me feel better. Is Bienvenidos even a word in Spanish, right? It's welcome if it's Bienvenido.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference in O and Os?
So O is individual. Os is like obviously.
Oh, like welcome you all.
Welcome you all. Okay. Yeah. When we started Bienvenido, I didn't realize. I thought this was going to be like the easiest word for everyone, but I even have Spanish-speaking friends. They're like, why did you do that?
Okay,
you
know? Now I'm feeling better. Welcome to you, not welcome, but whatever.
But let me tell you, Jackie, the Bienvenido was the best marketing for me ever because my non-Hispanic and non-Spanish friends, they go into like an airport or like a concert, and because the Hispanic culture is so prevalent in pretty every basic means of society, there's Bienvenido everywhere. So I get friends sending me pictures of them going into like an airport or a concert entrance or a restaurant. Like, I didn't know you sponsored this airport.
And yes.
I'm like, no, I didn't, but yeah,
yes,
sure,
right?
Sure. So it's been great marketing.
No, exactly. You walk into any like the tourist office when you're going into any Spanish speaking country, Bienvenido, they think it's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we have sponsored all of America
and everywhere. you have billions of dollars in free advertising because of the name that you selected. All right. Tell us what Bienvenido is.
Yeah, so it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to Hispanic outreach, really just showcasing the classic American values that have been alive in the Hispanic community since the inception of Hispanics in America. You know, Jackie, I really do feel like there is a threat to Hispanic culture and Hispanic values with people telling Hispanics what you should believe, what your values are, and how you should vote. And with Bienvenido, all I'm trying to do is just remind our community of what we truly believe in the first place. And those are that, you know, America is good, that we should secure our borders, and that we have a God that our rights come from, not government.
Okay. And so we can all tell by looking at you, you are very young. You are this far from 30, right?
Yeah, just a couple months.
Yeah. So you're very proud of this because, you know, you will have entered into the circle of mature Hispanic males. and so, but you're a great voice right now because you represent to a lot of people the next generation. And I mean, you're already factoring in. You're kind of ubiquitous. I see you everywhere. I mean, wherever I go, you are there. And you are like the optimistic, pro-freedom, pro-free speech. You give hope to people because all they see on the news is the opposite. If someone's under 35 and they're making the news, chances are they're pushing back against the freedom that we have all become so proud of, that really makes up the American ethic. And so you bring hope and you're just, you know, a joy to have around in any event. But this is why you're going to be so important. I predict you're a rising star. I'm not betting 1,000, but I'm about 750. And I really, seriously, if I could buy stock in anyone, it's Abraham. So let's get started with this. You are a Hispanic group, as you put into your website, Hispanic. I don't see you using the word Latin or the word Latinx. Yeah. Now, explain why you'd prefer Hispanic over Latin.
Yeah.
Or
so, first I want to start by, you're so kind. You're so sweet. Thank you for those incredible words.
All earned.
I feel like being on this show, forgive me if I'm too excited, because you really, in my mind, you haven't made it into an expert in your field unless you stop by the Jackie Daly Show. I mean, let's be honest. Like, the Jackie Daly Show is kind of that stamp of like, okay, you know what you're doing. So being here today is
thank you for lying, Abraham. I love you so much.
No, thank you. This is a huge, huge honor. But so Hispanic, let's talk about Latinx first. No one knows what that means.
No.
And it was.
In fact, I have a CNN story right here.
Yeah.
It says exactly that.
What is it?
The people who apparently are Latinx.
Yeah.
Like only like 97% of them don't know what that means.
Yeah. Well, what, less than 2% of Hispanics actually subscribe to Latinx theory. And let's be completely, completely transparent with this. This was a term that was created by white California liberals.
Almost
telling
certainly.
Hispanics, like, this is now what you're going to be called. And I think that it ties directly from what I'm understanding from the people that want me to subscribe to Latinx and want me to force our community to say that's what we believe in, is that in the Hispanic culture, more specifically in the language, We have very masculine and feminine, you know, grammar, right? So Latino, Latina. And I think that the Latinx, what it is trying to do is that it is trying to get rid of, not trying, it is getting rid of gender and creating this idea around gender ideology and pushing this trans message to Hispanics. And you look at how much investment that is, something that's not talked about, Jackie, is how much the Biden administration is pouring into Latin countries for gender modification and Latinx studies, right?
Huge money going through the State Department and elsewhere. Yeah, too. And not just Spanish-speaking countries, but also African countries.
Yeah.
Places that need the money.
Yeah.
And they're pushing that money with the strings attached, is what I think you mean.
So, and Latino is basically, and Latin is basically encompassing all of Latin America. With Hispanic, I think it's a little bit more inclusive to the sense of you have, you know, Portugal, you know, people like in Brazil and Argentina maybe don't see themselves as Latino, but definitely Hispanic. And so it's just easier to you know, subscribe to the Hispanic word. Okay. But honestly, at the end of the day, Jackie, it's not about race. It's not about how you say your last name. It's about values. And I go and tell everyone, if you believe that America is a good country, if you believe in protecting, you know, family sovereignty and have moral standards, then you're Hispanic, right? That to me is what being Hispanic means. Not about race, not about your last name, specifically about values.
Right. Okay. Okay. So a lot of thoughts about all that. First of all, it's the first time I've ever heard that the Spanish that I learned in school, you know, we're always assigning gender to words in Spanish. Absolutely.
Like
there are effeminate words or there, you know, how we say masculine.
Yeah.
And so, and that determines the end of the word in Spanish. That's really, I don't know, hundreds of years old. And that is how you see your language.
Exactly.
And whereas in English, we don't really have a similar concept. And not exactly. So anyway, yeah, that's a new thought for me to percolate on for a while. Kind of immutable in your language. What are we going to do? Wait, what are we going to neuter the Spanish language and make it so there's no, you know, feminine and no masculine? It's not possible.
Exactly. And I think a very small portion of that conversation, we have to give credit to particularly young Hispanics that I think that liberals thought, oh, this new Gen Z millennial wave of Hispanics are just going to subscribe to this because it's trendy and it's cool. What they didn't realize was that family respect in family hierarchy, you know, it is so important in the Hispanic culture, to where you're telling a Gen Z millennial Hispanic to go and correct your grandparents on how they're speaking. That's not going to go so well, right? So I think that as they were pushing left in the idea of gender and modifying our vocabulary, they didn't realize that the respect of family values ties even into how we speak and our grammar and our language. Because I'm not going to go and tell my grandma, hey, what you've been taught, hundreds of years of vocabulary, now you're wrong and you're not inclusive, right? That's not going to fly so well.
That's been going on in this country for a long, long, long time. And so that's part of what I think about, you know, not just on my show, I talk about energy and environment issues. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm asking myself, like, for how much longer am I even going to be able to have this show and talk about these issues? Because the freedom of speech in this country is shrinking so dramatically. It's everybody's issue. No matter what issue you're working on, you know, we just keep coming back to this, and which is part of why you're important to my show, too, because you're the one out there trailblazing new thoughts for the Hispanic community. It's the exploding demographic, the fastest growing demographic by far. And I feel like there's a dearth of voices that represent the community and outlets to give this community information and news and commentary like you do. I'm going to tell you a true story, and I know you'll have a thought about this. Here in Dallas, there were a group of people who are very active and involved in the community and politics. And the question came up, do you realize that, you know, there's no one we can think of who is kind of an ambassador from the Hispanic community to, at the time, the Trump administration? So it was like this. Okay, look. President Trump loves celebrity, right? Yeah. If you will request a meeting with a celebrity, he might take it.
Yeah.
So, who would the Hispanic community send if you have an issue and you want to be heard on something? Who's your ambassador to get the meeting with President Trump? And what was funny is we all had an answer, but the answers were all different.
Yeah.
So there's no consensus of, oh yeah, you know, you say Hispanic leader, I pick so-and-so. So, I mean, And I'm going to confess to you, my answer, Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's a legendary guitarist, and he's probably from Trump's era.
Yeah.
And so that was my answer, and everyone's like, what? What are you talking about? And as I said to you before I started this interview, and I mean it, I think Santana's Winning, the song called Winning, should be the Bienvenido theme song. You should write to him and ask him if you can use this song. Because it's, I mean, the lyrics aren't perfect, but the chorus is pretty good. Okay, can I get like 15 seconds of Winning so people know what I'm talking about? If you're under 50, you might or might not know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I hear it a little. But it's not all instrumental. It's a wonderful, it's a great song. Right? It's an optimistic.
Yeah.
I do it during every workout, before every show, when I'm driving to do the show.
Yeah.
Winning. So anyway.
I love that.
Check in with Carlos Santana. But for your answer, I mean, who would you pick if you had like the top three most influential Hispanic Americans? Who are those people?
So
aside from Abraham Enrique?
No, aside from me, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a tough answer, because as you know, the Hispanic community is so diverse,
right?
To where, you know, you have to understand that even within, you're talking about Hispanics, but what are you talking about? Mexican Americans,
right?
Of Cuban descent, Venezuelan, Puerto Ricans, like, and each one of those demographic has their celebrity, has their go-to person,
right?
And also has their issues that they care about that maybe the other demographic doesn't. If I were to say the top three right now, I would say, you know, you have Mario Lopez out in California, who's a Mexican descent, who is very, I think he pulls in both from like my parents' demographic, but also my demographic, right? And he is very conservative. You have someone that I believe, I'm not mistaken, endorsed John McCain, Daddy Yankee, Puerto Rican rapper, who just recently said he's giving up rapping and is now full-time Christian, which that's incredible. And then who would the third one be? Salo, give me something. It has to be a female, because I think women Hispanic are critical to this country.
Right.
But who is that? No. Right now you have Eva Longoria, who is very, very involved. Unfortunately, she's more so to the left. But I think she pulls in, she's very influential. So I think we need to invest in like a Hispanic female leader. I really do think that that's what's gonna, you know, get people excited.
You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Abraham Enriquez of Bienvenidos. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show, and we're now continuing the conversation with my friend Abraham Enriquez, the founder of Bienvenidos. There are going to be like a handful of politicians, like the former governor of New Mexico, for example. Yeah. You're going to have a few for sure, actresses, singers, but this is the issue. No one in the group, and most of them were Hispanic, could agree on who are the young Hispanic voices. And I'm saying this is a huge segment of the population.
Yeah.
And what it means is there's this huge opportunity to be those people and to supply them with the news and commentary. Cause at the time and still there's this effort by a lot of people to create what would be the Spanish Fox News or Spanish CNN or whatever, because you know, we don't know, like it's clearly not mainstream media other than maybe there was Telemundo and and you know, a few outlets, but I can tell you even the little bit of Spanish I have, they were pretty Marxist leaning. They were they were not pro freedom.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big concern. It's a huge concern. So for people your age who are pro-freedom, but they speak Spanish and they want Spanish media, where do they go?
Yeah, it's really difficult. That's a great question, Jackie. And I think age is really important. I don't think it's critical, but it is important for anyone trying to influence to take note of, because in the Hispanic world, the average age of Hispanics in America are 29-year-old, making us the youngest racial demographic in America. Yeah. This last election cycle, in the midterm elections, it was the first time, I believe, the Gen Z millennial vote outperformed the baby boomer vote, right? So if we, on the conservative side, aren't investing and raising up young conservative leaders that look like the community, sound like the community, come from the community, then we're going to lose that demographic, right?
Yeah.
And so when I get asked to do some hits on CNN Español, in Telemundo, Univision, it is sometimes worrisome because I know I'm not going into friendly ground, but it's my most favorite channels to go on, networks to go on, because every time I do a hit on there, Jackie, the amount of people that go onto our website, that DM our Instagram, that DM right. me personally and say, hold on, you said something that I agree with, and now I'm kind of confused, right? And when they go into our website, they go into our social media, they start seeing all the things that we're posting, and they realize, wait, something's going on here. You know, just because my grandpa and my grandma were Democrats or liberals, that doesn't mean I have to be, nor that doesn't mean that they were that type of liberal that is now, right? So when it comes to Spanish-speaking media, and I saw a report by Axios that I think Gen Z Hispanics are embracing Spanglish, meaning maybe not full-on Spanish, but they want to fall in love with the language that their grandparents or their parents immigrated to America from. And it's really difficult. I know we have a mutual friend starting Voz Media, which is a Spanish-speaking network. But more importantly, I think YouTube is now up there with, you know, cable news and new for channels. Sure. And you look at how many young influencers are giving up their careers and going full-time YouTubing with podcasting.
Right.
That's where you reach a lot of these young listeners. And that's a critical, critical place to, you know, go into and pouring your resources.
It's so important because, like, even, okay, my podcast is on The Blaze and then otherwise on iHeartRadio, Spotify, most places where podcasts are found. What I learned very quickly is I make the show here in Dallas, usually at the Glenn Beck Studios down the street. And I was expecting it would be an American audience. It is mostly, but I get mail, email, you know, social media messages from all over the world. And then you realize, wait a minute, this is obviously an online international medium. Anyone who understands my language, which is all across the earth, and it was Spanish. If you can cover English and Spanish, you're covering the great majority of people who are accessing news.
Yeah.
Your influence is so much bigger because they don't have freedom. I call it freedom media. Some people call our media conservative media or Republican media. It's not. It's freedom media. And there's a lot of control over the media in some countries. So you're really important, especially this international broadcast you're doing to get through to people, not just here, but elsewhere. And I'm glad you're talking to the other side. This is how we prevent World War III and a civil war. It's by talking to each other and humanizing each other. And so we can't cut off contact with people who don't think like us. I love what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think when I get the huge privilege of traveling across the country, Jackie, and meeting with primarily young Hispanics who our organization outreaches to. And something that has been pretty, I would say, repetitive with the conversations when we're talking about media, because we want to know where are you getting your information from,
right?
Is particularly that 18 to 40-year-old demographic. It's either they're way too busy to be turning on national media, so they're driving to school, driving to work, putting on their favorite podcast, right? But also, there's this kind of sentiment of, we don't trust mainstream media.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do also with maybe countries back home. You look at Mexico,
right,
where independent journalists are, it's almost a risk to do investigative reporting in Mexico because the number of journalists that are being killed for exposing the truth is kind of crazy. So that message trickles up to the United States. And so young Hispanics are like, well, do we trust the media? I'd rather listen to my independent podcast leader, right? The person who I can trust information from.
Right.
So, you know, quickly just uploading things on your own personal channel, which also I think opens up a bigger conversation of, okay, who are you listening to on Facebook? Like what credibility is there, right? Because just as there are a lot of independent journalists on the conservative side, there are a lot that are pushing this Latinx Marxist agenda, which is unfortunately, you know, it is influencing a lot of voters.
For sure. Okay, I'm going to ask you now, these are hotter questions.
Yes.
Hot potatoes.
Let's do it.
This is your skill set. This is where you really shine. the things that I'm constantly hearing is, you mentioned open borders. Actually, let's start there.
Yeah.
you know, there's an assumption by the very much not Hispanic leadership in the country that, you know, if we're tough on the border, we're going to lose the Hispanic vote. And that talk drives me crazy. Okay, well, I live in Texas, so maybe I have a little bit more information than they do. This is like in D.C. or someplace.
Yeah.
And Senator Cruz would be quick to say that's false.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your answer? You're of Mexican descent. Grandparents are still in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I agree with Senator Cruz. Here's the thing. What most people don't realize when we're talking about border security is that let's start from the very beginning. Hispanics were conservative before Republicans were conservative. Let's just start there, right? When the whole 2016, 2020, the conversation about border security was happening and build the wall, I spoke to my grandparents like, hey, our organization is signing off on a policy point that encourages building the wall. I just want to let you know, I agree with it. What do you agree with it, grandparents who live in Mexico? And they say, Abraham, build the wall. Like, make it long, make it tall. And I was surprised. I was like, wait, because I know the media that they're listening to in Mexico isn't friendly with, you know, Republican conservative circles in America. They say, Abraham, which some background, my grandparents are pastors and they have the largest evangelical church in the state of Jalisco. And so they say, so they see a lot of crazy things that happen in the church and their members. And they say, we know what's going on in Mexico. And we don't want what's happening in Mexico to go into where our family lives in Texas.
Right.
So we want you guys to be protected. And if that was true, if we go back to Republican talking points about border security pre-Trump, you look at Cameron County, Hidalgo County, two very, Hispanic districts along the border that encompass Brownsville, McAllen, Eagle Pass, Harlingen, mm-hmm. South Padre Island. Like that is, I would say, as close to Mexico as you can get. And you have two amazing women who ran in those two districts that so happened to be Republican on border security because their communities were so affected by what mm-hmm. was going on with illegal immigration. And those two districts were under Democrat control for over 120 years. And because two females were running of Mexican descent were running on border security, they flipped those districts.
Right.
So this idea that border security is somehow going to alienate Hispanic voters and that those districts were flipped by Republican voters, but by independent and Democrat voters that voted for the first time for a Republican candidate.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, and we're looking at what's coming across our border to say that, you know, us as Hispanics, especially those that live in Texas, we know that over 120 countries cross our border daily.
Right.
This isn't about Hispanics. This isn't about Mexicans. This is about people who we might not know. You know, if they love America, what their intentions are here. And when you talk about Hispanics, Jackie, I think that there's a little bit of frustration in that Hispanics, when it comes to immigration reform, that is somehow always tied to border security, when I believe the two should be separate. We always get burned on immigration reform. I mean, and any positive immigration reform that has ever happened that has benefited Hispanics in America has been under a Republican presidency. I think the closest thing that the Democrats gave us was Obama's unconstitutional DACA program that benefits no one. You have DACA recipients who are frustrated, who are up in the air, have no idea what their future holds. And it's unfair that Hispanics, every single time, both Republicans and Democrats come to the table to talk about immigration reform, we're the ones that always get burned, particularly of those of Mexican descent, because you look at the kind of countries that are coming, those that represent different countries that are coming across our border, whether it's Ecuador, Honduras, Guatemala, Cuba, Venezuela. What worries me, Jackie, is this. The people, and I'm respectful about this, and I take a lot of pride in what I'm saying here. The people who are paving the streets, building the roofs, or constructing the roofs, you know, building our buildings, are out there doing hard labor. Those are particularly of Mexican descent. Because Mexicans, we know how to get out there and earn a buck, right?
For sure.
For sure.
Hustlers.
I'm a little nervous.
In the purest sense of the word.
Exactly. And I'm a little nervous of those that are coming from countries like El Salvador and Guatemala and Cuba who maybe haven't understood what socialism is. And as soon as they cross the border, they do get these, you know, handouts like a phone and a place to stay. And I'm worried that mentality of where you escaped can still live here, but better is really going to hurt the Hispanic community. And that's why I started Bienvenido to remind our community, hey, this isn't what we love America for, right? We don't believe in this. We want to go back to what we know is true. And that is that hard work, free market capitalism is what lifts people out of poverty, not government assistance. So
there's a reason
that is
why the traffic is coming in our direction,
yeah,
not running down to the Marxist countries.
Exactly.
In the other direction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So which country are people breaking down the door to get into?
Yeah.
The free market capitalist
exactly.
country. Yeah.
And to kind of wrap that up, that idea up is those that are coming across from Mexico don't get asylum. They don't get to stay here. They get deported immediately back. It's the Biden administration has made it very clear that if you're coming from countries of socialist government, then you can stay. And so it seems almost like the Hispanics that want to come here to work are being punished or don't have a way to do it. And those that are coming because they want government assistance are being encouraged and rewarded for that. And it's not about race. It's simply about what truly is happening at the border today.
So it suggests a selection
yeah.
by the administration
yeah.
of a specific type, not just a specific type of immigrant that they want,
yeah.
but a specific type of Hispanic. Is yeah. not, you're saying it's not racial because how many governments are there south of our border or in the Caribbean that are Spanish speaking? Mm-hmm. A lot.
Yeah.
And they're all different.
Yeah.
They're totally different. You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Abraham Enriquez of Bienvenidos. You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show, and I'm talking with Abraham Enriquez, my friend who is the founder of Bienvenidos. So I would imagine that your grandparents in New Mexico see the effects of what has to be the largest drug trafficking and human trafficking corridor because of the border policy. Mm-hmm. The cartels have, you know, wide open free rein. Do they talk about the fallout, crime-wise, otherwise? Because of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, them being pastors, they see so much. And I visit them 3 times a year to help with church ministry. And I, you know, they do a good job of not hiding me from the tough conversations that they have with their members. Jackie, every single time I go, I meet with a mother whose child has been kidnapped or has been influenced by the cartel and human trafficking in Mexico. The things that we're so nervous and worried about in America and that we feel could happen, they're happening as we speak in Mexico. And it doesn't, you know, cartel, drug trafficking, human trafficking, it doesn't care about your social status. It doesn't care about how much money you have, how much you don't. It hits everyone in Mexico today. And so I love going to Mexico because I believe it's a beautiful country. It just has been run by some pretty bad people. I do think that there's hope for Mexico. It's where half my heart is because my grandparents are there. But it also exposes me to the policies that we're talking about in America. I see them. I see the dangers of bad policies. And when your nation isn't secure, you know, Mexico also has a southern port of entry and they don't have that secured. And I feel like that's very real. And living in Texas, being a border state, I understand that what my grandparents see every single day, it's here. Like, you know, we're in Dallas right now, but because of the lack of border security, Dallas and every city in Texas has now become a border city because of the amount of fentanyl that's coming in, drugs and human trafficking. And, you know, I think it has made my grandparents much more firm on their stance of you cannot be a Hispanic in America and not be conservative and not vote a certain way.
Really?
Because
because
of what you're seeing in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And 67% of Hispanics in America, Jackie, are of Mexican descent. We are like super majority of the Hispanic demographic. A lot of us either have parents that immigrated or still have family members in Mexico. So when we're making those calls, when we're talking to the people that our families that live in Mexico, we're being reminded of this is what I'm scared of our country turning into. I had an Uber driver from the airport yesterday. He says, I haven't been able to visit my mom and dad in Mexico for over 8 years because of how dangerous it is. He's like, I wish I had the privilege to be able to go across the border and see them. Fortunately, they can't come here, and I can't go there anymore. We're talking about the left loves to talk about separation of families. Let's talk about what's really separating families. Immigration reform, our asylum laws that need to be reformed, and also the violence in Mexico that has kept so many people in America not being able to go visit mm-hmm. their families in Mexico.
Right. Well, and thinking just now about the American Hispanics as opposed to people crossing the border. Mm-hmm. And earlier that your point about, you know, it might be a little counterintuitive how they think and how they vote, what mm-hmm. they believe. Okay, I'm originally from Ohio, growing up, we didn't have any Hispanic people in my part of Ohio. Yeah. And so when we thought of Hispanics, we thought of immigrants, mm-hmm. 100%. If you move to Texas, you'll find out very quickly. Like, I'm fascinated by the people
yeah.
who are along the Texas-Mexican border, which is a big, big border. It's a lot yeah. of area. And not just there, but New Mexico,
yeah, yeah.
Arizona, California. There are a lot of people who have been there. They're not immigrants. They haven't immigrated anywhere for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But the border has jumped over them
yeah, yeah.
several times. So today yeah. they're Americans. Before they were Americans, they were Texans.
Yeah.
In the Republic of yeah, Texas. Yeah. Before that, they were Mexicans
yeah.
because Mexico had the territory. And you know, before that, they were tribes. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows how long many of these people have been here. But the point is, they are not immigrants. Like, this is their home.
Yeah.
They have always been Americans for as long as the country has existed in this part of the world, in that part of the country. And so they're very different. But that's who you know, everyone looked around last election and said, wow, look at that valley. Flipping red.
Yeah.
And as you point out, they've always been conservative people.
This
is a very misunderstood
yeah, yeah.
demographic, and they're suffering the most from the millions of people crossing into the country, I should think, right? Like, so tell me, what city are you based in now?
Dallas.
You're in Dallas. Okay.
Yes.
But I saw a link to Lubbock.
Yeah. Well, born and raised in Lubbock, and okay. I'm there like once a week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're also on the Texas Public Policy Foundation yeah. website because you're the LLC.
I'm a West Texas boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
What is it? Something like Young Leadership Conference. What's LLC?
The Liberty Leadership Council.
But it's for the under
40.
Under 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Community. All right. So leadership there in the yeah. most influential and largest state-based think tank in America, yeah. Texas yeah. Public Policy Foundation. So that's exciting. And I know that you have coming up very soon
yeah.
the Vision Conference yeah. where local celebrity Doug Deason will be presenting. Yeah. And I said there can't be any cheap seats or cheap tickets for a Doug Deason appearance, like the Rolling Stones or
yes,
something.
Yes, we're excited.
So you have a lot of really cool people coming in. So who are your guest speakers at this event?
Yeah, so we have a lot. We have Senator Cruz, we have Dr. Ben Carson, we have Eduardo Verástegui, Bob Unanue, CEO of Goya Cares. And really, Jackie, with this, the past, God has been so good. The past, Bienvenido turns 5 years, a 5-year-old this year.
Okay.
And so for the past 5 years, we've done outreach in three areas of pillars that we know are strong in the Hispanic community. So that's business, that's faith, and that's policy and governance. And what the mainstream media won't tell you is that there are strong Hispanic leaders in each of those areas. So what this conference does is that it's splitting those three sections, and we're bringing the best and the brightest of each of those pillars and teaching and telling Hispanics, A, you should be proud of being Hispanic because these are the leaders that are, you know, championing the causes that you care about. And also, if you're not Hispanic and you want to learn how to better outreach to Hispanics or better invest in Hispanic outreach, this is a conference to do that from. I mean, Friday, we have our business portion where we have major CEOs of some incredible companies. I'm doing a fireside chat with the senior vice president of PepsiCo.
Okay.
And then we have Doug Deason, who has invested heavily on education and criminal justice reform that you and I both know directly impact Hispanics in America. And then we also have some major pastors who have done some incredible things in the sense that they've opened up their congregation to civic participation, ensuring that their congregations know how to register to vote, who is going to be on the ballot, what initiatives, what an ordinance directly affect the church. I think the Hispanic evangelical demographic, Jackie, is such an untapped market for Republicans, or really just for anyone, that Bienvenido, we've been at the forefront. Within 5 years, we've, with partnership and coalition building, have about 45,000 churches across the country that are doing voter mobilization and voter outreach every single Sunday. And then we obviously have policy and governance leaders. We have four former White House officials, all Hispanic, that were in charge of creating the policies that President Trump enacted that Hispanics love so much.
Right.
So I'm really excited to kind of do a well-rounded conversation around on the other things that Hispanics care about. And I want this to be a place where if you're Hispanic, like I said, you can come in here, you can hear some amazing leaders and say, wow, this is what my community is about. And if you're not Hispanic, but you want to learn, you know, I sit down with a lot of candidates, Jackie, and one of my favorite conversations is always breaking down Hispanics by the numbers. I had someone that is running in a very critical swing state in a swing district. And he did tell me, Abraham, I need your help in getting the Mexican vote. And looking at his district, I realized, well, if I help you with that, you're not going to win because majority of your district is Puerto Rican. So how about we say, let's get the Hispanic vote because that encompasses everyone.
It's so bad.
But I don't blame them. I don't blame them because it's our fault as Hispanics. We've not done a good job of showing face in these circles to where people get to know us. I think that I love the fact that I was born and raised in West Texas because it forced me to show in my groups and my circles who were always Hispanic what being a Hispanic looked like. And also, I think that Hispanics, we tend to just stick together so much that we need to start out like going into circles and into areas that maybe we're the minority in, but it helps everyone understand what truly is our values, because then we don't have people telling us that we have to subscribe to Latinx.
You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show, and we're now continuing the conversation with my friend Abraham Enriquez, the founder of Bienvenidos. I've been in several conversations with Republican leaders and planners and whatever, and another of my pet peeves, like just a trigger.
Yeah.
Is they'll talk about Hispanic outreach, and I will say, okay, let me just put one requirement into the program.
Yeah.
You, the candidate, must physically enter into the Hispanic community, whether it is a church or whether it's a community center or an event, and ask for their vote.
Yeah.
And I poll informally. I've asked almost everyone I've had this conversation with, have you done that?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why are we bothering with Spanish outreach if you're not physically going into the community and laying eyes on the constituents?
Yeah.
They lay eyes on you, because otherwise you're dehumanized and objectified as some, a bad guy and a villain because you're not there. So there's no excuse. I mean, there's no substitute for the physical, be present and meet people and actually don't write them off like they won't give me a chance.
Yeah.
Actually go ask for the vote, because it's actually not as bad as people think. What percentage of Hispanics support Ted Cruz in Texas? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's really huge. And George W. Bush did well.
Yeah.
Also. So it's just wrong to assume, oh, you know what? They're going to just go Democrat no matter what.
Yeah.
Or if you're...
And you know what's crazy, Jackie, and I might get some pushback on this, is that, and this is solely based on my experience with helping candidates, when there is a non-Hispanic candidate campaigning and they go into the Hispanic community, they're going into these birrerias, taquerias, carnicerias, these churches, they almost get a little bit more attraction than a Hispanic, because of course a Hispanic candidate's going to go to your local Hispanic church or your supermarket. That's common, no doubt. You get someone who looks a little differently, maybe talks a little differently, probably has like a Texas accent going into a taqueria stop. It's almost as if like they're attracted to that. And then now you have like a loyal friend. And now because he came to my business, now I have to go out and vote for him because, he came all the way to me. It's Hispanics are very loyal to friendship and to presence. And so when I help a candidate who is not Hispanic, I tell them, I'm going to help you if you do three things. One is you're going to find a local pastor who is Hispanic, and he's going to be your spiritual, prayer warrior throughout your campaign, because every person needs that kind of person. And also, he's going to introduce you to the evangelical community that, once you go to a couple of churches, you have them, right? Share your heart, you have them. Two, you're going to do a couple of taqueria stops with me. We're going to go to a couple of taco stands, and you're just going to keep face with those leaders. And three is you're going to come up with an economic plan to support small business. You're going to talk about that plan, because above everything, Hispanics, what they care about the most, not immigration, not this green energy plan that the left tells you that we care about. No, we care about the economy and opening up businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do those three things, you're going to do pretty well. And I think a lot of people are a little, when we talk about Hispanic outreach, I think the reason why Republicans haven't really invested is because they're nervous or they're scared of it. And they don't realize that if you, Jackie, were to go into a heavily Hispanic district and campaign for the vote, and we were on the same ballot, you would get much more support than what I would, because you're someone that decided to go into the community and say, I want to learn from you. And I want you to realize that we have a lot more in common than what you think.
Well, okay, here's, first of all, if I were a candidate, I would love those opportunities. Like, okay, how would a Hispanic community view someone like me? Let's imagine I'm running for Congress.
Yeah.
And so I go, I've done this many times, actually. I love to go to Spanish church, the Catholic church, and it's all in Spanish. I understand a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I like it because it's all families.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to the non-Spanish service, it's a lot of individuals.
Yeah.
Like, or at least when I was in D.C., for example. I really like that family feeling. It's really heartening. If I go into that community and I speak my Spanish, I would at least go to Abraham Enriquez first and be like, okay, Abraham, here's what I want to say in English. Please, can you translate this to Spanish?
That's funny.
And try. If I make an effort. Like when other leaders come to our country, you know, they go to Congress.
Yeah.
You've seen this happen many times. And they speak English to us. We like that. Yeah. They're trying, right?
Yeah.
Would it be received the same way?
Yeah.
If you speak poorly like I do?
1,000%. One thing that we do, Jackie, is, you know, when Trump was renegotiating NAFTA, which is now the USMCA trade agreement, our organization took on the side to help advocate for, on the Mexico side, the business in the United States that wanted to move closer out of China, couldn't maybe come to the United States, but could have come closer like Mexico. And so when we would take these business delegations of non-Hispanic business leaders to Mexico, everyone that they would meet with on the Mexican side all spoke English and tried to at least speak English. And it was amazing seeing the business leaders, Jackie, kind of astonished about, like, wait, they know my language. And someone that for 2 years I tried to get to Mexico, and he's like, I don't even know if there's toilets in Mexico, it was so funny.
People used to say that about Appalachia. Yes. I know how that feels.
Yeah. Well, people say that about Lubbock, Texas. Are you kidding me? No. So, and I, when he went there and he saw like Monterrey, Mexico, the wealthiest district in all of Latin America, and he realized, wow, these are skyscrapers, these are hotels. He loved it so much, and the people there spoke English to him. He now has a second home in Monterrey, Mexico now.
Oh, cool.
I think what you realize is it's all about just trying
and
showing face, and that's all you have to do. But also on the flip side of that, and I'm speaking only for myself here, I grew up with the stories of my great-grandparents and my grandparents coming to America, and it was the non-Spanish speaking, the white business people that gave my family a shot at working here, at providing a business, and it's because of that opportunity that my grandparents were able to save up a lot and move back to Mexico and live the life that they have now, to where I think my generation, first generation Hispanics, have this, I would say, loyalty to helping those that have helped us. And that's still very strong in a lot of these areas like Texas, Arizona, California, where you have that first, maybe even second generation of Hispanics who don't forget the people that once lent a hand to our immigrant parents wanting some economic freedom in America.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if the left wants us to believe there's this racial war.
Right.
In reality, it's like, we couldn't care less about if you can speak Spanish or not. It's like, hey, we just want to survive in this thing we call life. Are you willing to do it with us?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you know, I talk a lot about oil and gas, environmental policy, energy policy. I run across a lot of West Texans in particular, so Midland, Odessa area, Permian Basin, and Eagleford Shale, which is like South Texas, like oil men. And they're like, you know what? Like, almost my entire workforce is Hispanic.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge, or my area where I spend most of my time is a huge place for really good jobs for Hispanics or for anyone, frankly. Some of the best paying blue collar jobs, some of the best paying white collar jobs are in the oil patch. Like right now, if you graduate in this country, the top paying degree is petroleum engineering. And at the same time, if you know, when it's booming, if you can drive a truck or weld, you can make six figures sometimes in the oil patch when times are good. I mean, it's a really great state, a great area, a great place, and it's heavily Hispanic, at least where my show broadcasts on the air. I'm actually on the dial out there in Midland, Odessa, and the surrounding counties, and used to be down in San Antonio in that area. So I learned from a lot of people there that this is the workforce and a lot of opportunity for
exactly what you just said. I think that we are undergoing, way back to what we were talking earlier about media and reaching to the mass. you have those employees who are listening to radio all day. They're not going to turn on mainstream media. They're tired of it, but they are going to turn on radio and podcasting. And so you might be the only voice that these oil and gas workers are, or, you know, the supermarket workers, or something that they're playing on the background while they're working that they're hearing. So I think
the only friendly voice.
The only
there aren't many
voice.
People who say good things about their industry.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that is so encouraging to know that we have people like you, Jackie, who are doing
you.
That.
You're listening to the Jackie Daily Show. I'm talking with my friend Abraham Enriquez, the founder of Bienvenidos. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Jackie Daily Show, and I'm continuing a conversation with Abraham Enriquez, the founder of Bienvenidos. That's Bienvenidos. It's a Spanish word. It means welcome.
Going back to even the energy, he's speaking tomorrow. Just met him, CEO of Trendsetter Inc., which is Mario Lugo, who's of Hispanic, who's of Mexican descent, and has the largest offshoring oil company in America. And he is very worried about the amount of push that the left is doing with green energy that would devastate Hispanic communities across not just Texas, but across the United States. So I think that what I'm excited about is that there's so many young Hispanics who are becoming very sophisticated when it comes to policies and understanding, no, don't push green energy on me. Tell me what that is and how is it going to affect my daily life. And what you're seeing is the left thought that as they pushed more left, the Hispanics were just going to blindly follow them. And if anything, the last two elections have taught us that Hispanics are loyal to good policy and good values over party and candidates. And that's what I'm really excited about. We're talking about truly we're the fastest growing demographic. We're the largest minority voting bloc in the country. We're 62 million strong, 32 eligible voters, 4 more million voters are Hispanic that will be able to vote this election than in 2022. And I think we're saving the country, Jackie. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. You look at the demographic that is leaning more conservative. If the black vote, if the college educated vote, if the white suburban mom vote, if it all stays the same, if the Hispanic vote continues to shift the way it is, that demographic is strong enough to hold the line for any conservative candidate. And I am so proud of the Hispanic leaders that are stepping up and saying, I want change in my community. You have Mike Garcia, Hispanic and who encompasses a little bit of LA, California, a deep blue district. He flipped that seat. You have Juan Ciscomani, the first immigrant to represent Arizona in Congress, flipped Tucson, Arizona. You have Myra Flores, who became the first Mexican-born congresswoman in U.S. history that flipped Cameron County. Maria Elvira Salazar flipped Miami-Dade County. You have Nicole Maliotakis, who flipped a district that encompasses New York City. These are deep blue seats or districts, Jackie, that Hispanics are saying, give it to me, I want it. And we're flipping them.
It's amazing.
And I'm excited.
And people don't know this story. People don't know this. It's amazing. You also have, but for the Hispanic community, this country would have negative population growth.
Yeah.
Both the number of children that you have, but also the people who are coming. And so that's actually a really big deal in terms of keeping your economy floating.
100%.
With this Ponzi scheme we call Social Security. Like the only way you can keep it alive is that somehow you grow more workers feeding into the system.
Yeah.
And demographic collapse is a major problem.
Jackie, Hispanics account for $3 trillion in GDP. If we were our own standalone economy, we'd be the fifth largest in the world. We account for 82% of all new businesses created. And we created 50% of all new businesses in the past 10 years.
It's part of why Texas is so great, actually.
Yes.
You know, we're still like the best state for business. And we have like a $32 billion surplus. When we first got together for this session, thank God the legislature only meets once every 2 years. So we don't have this discussion very often. But the point is, but for those businesses and but for oil and gas severance taxes that go into the general coffers to give us that, we wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
And so part of the Texas story is very much a Hispanic story, and people don't realize exactly how big it is.
Yeah.
So I'm talking again with Abraham Enriquez, Bienvenido. And again, now where can they find you online before we go anywhere?
Yeah. So all my social media handles are at abraham.enriquez, and our organization is at bienvenido.us.
Right.
That's where they can find us.
Follow Abraham. As I told you, I mean, if I could buy stock in anyone, it's Abraham Enriquez.
It.
For sure. Not even 30 years old yet. I think Thomas Jefferson said if a man's going to be anything, you'll know it by the time he's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know it. Like, I'm already going to mark this one, call this one. Like, Abraham could be president someday, so.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
No.
We're excited, though.
Thanks for coming by the studio, and be good to Doug Deason when he's up on stage.
We will be. We'll try.
At the Envision Conference. Treat him well. And anyway, it's been a total pleasure and delight having
you. Can I add something
real quick
now that we talked about Doug? we talked about how Hispanics' average age is 29. We're a very young demographic. A lot of us, we're wanting to start businesses. We're wanting to go into the professional, careers and opening really amazing things. What I've noticed when I'm talking to a lot of young Hispanics is that we're afraid to ask for help. I mean, it's almost our culture. We have amazing, beautiful things about our culture. Something that I believe holds us back is this idea that asking for help makes you look weak. I have found so much strength in finding people like Doug Deason and saying, Doug, I have no idea what I'm doing here. Please help me. And if it wasn't for my personal life board of advisors that I count Doug as part of, I wouldn't be where I am today without the grace of God and the leaders that pour into me. So I encourage, if you are someone that wants to give back to your community, find someone young and tell them your story. Tell them what you do, how you've done it. And if you're young, seek out someone. Seek out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. When I first met Doug, I was very intimidated. You can't be not intimidated when you meet someone like Doug. But the resources and the help and the guidance and the mentorship that I've received from amazing people like Doug and friends has been incredible. And that is how you build up success in this world, is by attaching yourself to people that you want to be like.
Well, and it's easy to support you because you're so positive, you're so optimistic. Really, you're the antidote to all the negativity on television and the things that people who are older than you see it and are concerned about their kids and their grandkids. What does the future look like? Yeah. And you want it to look like Abraham Enriquez.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So please, you want to be uplifted? Follow Abraham. You having a bad day? Google Abraham Enriquez. You know, bienvenido. Watch the videos. You will be uplifted and encouraged. So, Abraham, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're watching or listening to, depending on where you are, The Jackie Daily Show.